Hi, everybody. Kurt Schlichter here for Unhut Stream of Kurtishness. This is Unredacted Town Hall VIP podcast, and I get to go a little deeper, get to go a little more detailed about what's going on. Let's talk about what happened with Maduro. Let's talk about from the military side. Let me give you my disclaimers at first. I have absolutely no secret knowledge of what's going on. I haven't talked to anybody who was involved in the planning yet. I hopefully someday. I don't have any access to secure communications or classified material. All of this is speculation, none of the speculation is anything that you couldn't find if you digged far enough and deep enough. Of course, it's been, as of last week, 11 years since I retired. So I am very much out of it, and that's actually half a career. A career is 20 years, right? You hit 20 years and you can retire. So I've been out of the game a long time, and things have changed, and it's changed in some important ways that we'll be talking about. I wanted to kind of talk to you a little. I don't have all the details. There's no reporting on the kind of stuff that I'm interested in, which is the actual mechanics of how you planned it, how you resourced it, how you executed it, and what's on tap next. So that's kind of what I'm interested in. Not so much the climax of Oh Dark 30, where they go through the building with the little lasers and they're getting stuff and shooting people. And again, that stuff's cool. I'm all for it, but I want to look at the big picture, and I've noticed there's no reporting yet at all on it. It's very limited what we've seen. We know we have an idea it was Delta Force supported by 160th Special Operations Aviation Regiment, which is their helicopters, best helicopter guys in the world. I had a good friend who was one of their pilots, let's just say he did not lack for self-confidence. We know there were aircraft involved, other aircraft, helicopters, attack helicopters, apparently Apaches. I'm not sure if I guess the Marines may have some of those. A lot of stuff going on. And obviously naval flotilla led by the Gerald Ford Carrier Group. Apparently there were B-1 bombers involved. Apparently there was cyber. It was a symphony. And that's what a military operation is. If you are a commander, you are really a conductor. If you're a commander, you have all these assets laid out in front of you. And you have a mission, which has certain objectives. You've got to figure out how to apply your forces to meet the objective. And to do that, you have a staff. And the staff is divided into the one section. This would be might be a J staff because it's joint. The one staff is personnel administration, two staff intelligence, three staff operations, four staff is logistics, five staff planning, six staff comms, if I remember, I forget, eight, I don't even remember where you get cyber in it. But cyber is an important part of this thing that wasn't an important part of my operations when I was doing them 11 years ago. Now it's key. General Kane gave an indication, that cyber played a key role. I have absolutely no doubt it did. Okay, so first thing you do when you get a mission. What's the mission? I want you to go in and bring Maduro out. And there are probably some guardrails. You can't kill everybody in front of you. We want in and out fast. We want minimal casualties on both sides, minimal losses. Because part of this is an information operation. Part of the grabbing of Maduro is a message to the rest of the world that says America can do whatever the freak it wants. So you can't be embarrassed by, not getting Maduro. You can't be embarrassed by killing way too many people. You can't be embarrassed by losing too many people. Or, even worse, losing equipment. Well, not even worse, but also bad. Remember, we lost one helicopter in the Osama bin Laden raid. It wasn't shot down. It crashed because of weather conditions, largely. It couldn't get enough lift in the heat and you know, it went down and damaged and they had to blow it in place. We lost a bunch of aircraft and helicopters at Desert One when they're trying to rescue the Iranian hostages in 1979. Or was that 1980? No, it was 1980. And that was a disaster. Of course, Black Hawk down. So, you know, you're using helicopters. The last thing you want are damaged helicopters being paraded around, or dead Americans or living Americans. You don't want any of that. That becomes a problem. So you've got to plan around all of that. And it's, you know, it's a big deal. How do you get into a country with a layered anti-aircraft defense system? It's Russian, has guns and missiles. They also have F-16s, which are pretty old, probably not well maintained, and certainly the pilots are nowhere near the quality of American pilots. So you've got all this to deal with. You've also got to keep everything secret. You've also got, I mean, you have an advantage there because you're going to mostly operate on ships, so no one's out watching them. But, you know, if they were going to drop, for instance, the Ranger Battalion in, or one of the three Ranger battalions, there are airfields right near where the Rangers go. If you see a bunch of Rangers, if a reporter sees a bunch of Rangers getting into planes in their jump gear, yeah, you know, we kind of know what's going down. So that's not good. So you have a lot of constraints. So immediately, the first thing you do, you start looking at the enemy situation. First, the enemy situation is weather and terrain. Okay? What's the weather? Apparently, this thing was actually backed up a few days because the weather had to be very, very good. You wanted it clear. And with a lot of helicopters flying around, yeah, you don't want fog. You don't want rain. You don't want that complication. It was a full moon. That can be good and bad, depending on your situation. You definitely, and then let's look at the terrain, right? Urban terrain. You're going to get this guy in a city. Okay. So you've got a variety of considerations there. You can't move fast on the ground. The enemy can't move fast on the ground, right? It's got to navigate streets. There are buildings. There are wires. There are aerials. You've got a lot of hazards, and you've got a lot of people. Again, you don't want to cause unnecessary casualties. You don't want to kill a bunch of innocent Venezuelans if you can help it. That's going to undermine your objective. If you got to do them, you got to do them. But, you know, whatever. Next, what is the enemy situation in terms of forces? Again, we mentioned they've got some F-16s. There may not be very many of them flying. Their air defense system, it exists. It's got some decent, relatively modern equipment. But, you know, how good are the Venezuelan troops? All right, it's an impoverished country. A lot of these guys are conscripts. There's a lot of antipathy towards the dictatorship. And how many of these guys are going to want to risk their lives fighting Americans on behalf of Maduro, who, if he had his way, would skip out to Switzerland with, you know, $5 billion in suitcases? Okay, so you've got a competence issue. You may be helped by the fact that there are some people who won't participate in the military. There may be others who have non-participation thrust upon them. One of the things that happens is when you're doing your initial intelligence survey, and the CIA's been on the ground there for a long time, and they admit there was CIA on the ground. I would bet you there were American military on the ground, special forces types. We'll get to that in a sec. But they probably know every key general, and they probably have their phone numbers. And I would not be surprised at all if, you know, this thing launched about 10:25 Eastern on Friday. If, you know, about 10:40, as aircraft were coming in, a lot of these guys got phone calls saying, "Hi, this is the United States. You'll want to sit this one out. You want to sit this one out because this is happening. You fight us. Your guys are going to die. You may die. We're going to remember the guys who said, nope, I'm holding my unit back. I'm keeping my company in the barracks. I'm not deploying. I'm not getting involved in this. We'll remember you. And it'll be good that we remember you. Don't have us remember you for the bad things. Okay? Communicating with enemy senior officers, fairly common thing to do. I would not be surprised if a lot of these guys got calls that just said, dude, you're not going to stop us. We're going to run over you if you get in the way. Just shut your eyes, turn on the tube, have a beer, let this go down the way it goes down. What was the target? The key target, of course, well, there were two targets. First, they had to suppress the enemy air defense system. Everything was monitored. Everything was known. The recon, the reconnaissance, the surveillance, everything. We knew where every missile was. We knew where every gun emplacement was. The stuff that was going to be dangerous was going to get hit in the first wave. And that's what you saw some of those explosions, right? So that there was not going to be any effective response to this attack. So that's all prepared. Everybody, you know, hey, we're going to have this, this, and this plane take out that, and that air defense system. This is where cyber comes in. Cyber reconnaissance. The United States, and again, I have no knowledge of this other than what's in open source, but I have zero doubt that America did not absolutely have access to the entire internet and most of the defense systems in Venezuela, and on command, shut them down. Just turn them off. No comms, no communications, no radars, no way to warn people, no way to coordinate. You know, imagine you're an anti-aircraft defense battery commander, you're a captain or something. You've got three or four missiles and you're 10 miles from town. You're not getting a warning from your commander, your battalion commander. Your first warning is when your missiles blow up. Well, actually, your first warning is when your missiles don't turn on. Sir, the missiles, the whole system's down. And then the bombs hit. Okay. And you may or may not have gotten a call saying you may want to step away from your missile site. That is entirely possible. Again, we're not trying to kill Venezuelan troops. Every Venezuelan troop that dies is a potential information operation problem. Okay? Remember, there's military, diplomatic, economic, information. Those are the four elements of national power. Part of this is grabbing him out of there is a giant information operation. It's also a tactical operation because it does have an effect, a strategic effect on the country. So it's a tactical, builds a strategic. You know, blowing up Chavez's tomb, information operation. Unnecessary militarily, very necessary to show this is done. You're over. The regime is finished. And it's just a matter of TikTok time. So they got their target set. What do you do about Maduro? You want to grab him. You want to grab his wife. Okay. There were potential other guys who've been indicted, not the targets. Okay. You want to focus. You want one thing, because if you're hitting five things, that's five times as many things going wrong. And what's the value of getting, you know, Lieutenant General Javier Jimenez? Nobody freaking knows who he is. You want Maduro in chains and a picture. You want him being, you know, breathing as he's indicted. So you want to try and take him alive, which makes it tough. But, you know, there are some people you don't want to take alive. Nobody wanted to take Osama bin Laden alive. Okay. The understanding was, well, if he surrenders, you take him alive. Yeah, right. This time, this is different. This is a capture mission. And it's a capture mission for A, you want, you know, some political cover. Hey, we're just enforcing a warrant, but B, you know, there is a huge message to be sent with this guy in handcuffs, right? So you want him alive, makes it tough. Where is he? You've got to know exactly where he is, and you've got to know what the place looks like. I don't think it's a stretch or revealing any secrets to say that everybody understands there are Venezuelans there who are working for us. Again, the CIA was on the ground, but you probably have Delta on the ground too. And I'll tell you why, because they want to put lies on the target. They want to see it themselves. Yeah, the CIA guys, the guys on the ground force are very good. But, you know, if I'm a commander and I'm going in a building or I'm going in a location, I want to put eyes on it myself. And these guys are trained to go in and do that kind of thing. So I would not be surprised. I would not be surprised if some components of the attack force came by ground, right? You saw the big helicopters come up, CH-47 Chinooks. Those are big ones. And there were some Black Hawks. I don't know if they had the little bird ones. I didn't see any of those. Those guys coming in, yeah, you could assault by air. But, you know, I think they would want guys on the ground and probably, you know, to secure the area around the target. Now, how do they prep? Well, these guys do close quarter combat all the time. The Delta Force is different from the SEALs. SEALs are very much, you know, direct action, as are the Delta guys. But the SEALs, they're much more of a this is the kind of thing these guys do. Could the SEALs do it? Yes. They'd probably stop on the way to do a press conference, but SEALs could do it. But the Delta Force guys are the guys for this kind of counterterrorism mission. This is the kind of thing that their specialty is. It's not that other people can't do it. It's that, you know, Delta's Delta. And it is a very, very good operation. It is a very, very solid unit. It is a unit that is legendary. Okay, once you go to Delta, you're kind of out of the army. No one ever sees you again. I think I saw somebody who'd formerly been in Delta once, or at least worked with them in some capacity, but he never talked about that stuff. And the Delta guys tend not to talk as much as the, you know, SEALs do. It's kind of charming how the SEALs are, but the Delta guys, and you've seen pictures of them, they're all very, very big, very buff, very tough. They come up often through the toughest units, the Ranger battalions, sometimes Special Forces. Anybody can try out for Delta from any branch of the military. You could be a Space Guardian clerk and try out for it if they let you come try out for it. But there's no arbitrary rule about who could try out. And you know, in fact, a SEAL has become a Delta guy. But it's usually a significant number of Army Ranger guys who are very tough and used to being in place with extremely high standards. And these guys do nothing but train, and they do nothing but shoot. And they go in these houses and they shoot. And what they did is entirely what you expect. They got a model of the house, and they built the house they were going to break into. And they trained again and again and again. So they knew this place intimately. And remember, they had people inside. I wouldn't be surprised if they had photographs from inside, if they had the plans for the house, the blueprints. They knew that there was a panic room in there, that, you know, with iron doors. They came equipped with torches to cut through the iron if they needed to get to this guy if he got into his panic room. Now, of course, their plan would be not to land in the panic room. How do they do it? They do it by speed, and these guys move fast. They do nothing but train for close quarter combat. Well, I mean, they train on a lot of things, but they do a lot of close quarter combat, and they move very quickly. And anybody who gets in their way is going to die. And there's no two ways about it. They're going to kill them. And there are reports that the security team for Maduro was wiped out. I would not be a bit surprised if that happened. Those guys were probably fairly hardcore in terms of loyalty to Maduro and may have made the mistake of, you know, getting in the way of the Delta guys. Delta guys are not going to play. they're going to go in and they're going to kill everybody they have to get to their objective. And, you know, they got to their objective. They got these two alive and unharmed, probably by moving very, very fast. Then they grabbed them, took them out to the helicopters, and shot them off. They had rehearsed this dozens, if not hundreds of times. By the time they went and actually executed, it was probably less difficult for them than some of their training practice runs. And that's not kidding. The way we talk about in the military, the regular, because I was the opposite of special forces. I was on special forces. But I would screw with my special forces friends. They'd be like, yeah, we're tip of the spear. And I'm like, yeah, but I have an artillery battalion as acting brigade commander. You know, there's some power there. You sweat in training so you don't bleed in combat. They'll hit with overwhelming force. They no doubt landed around the area, secured it. I don't know what the area looked like. They call it a safe house. Was it a barracks on a base? I don't know. but they probably eliminated all the outside guards, hit the place hard from multiple directions, took out everybody inside, and grabbed Maduro. Whether he was awake or not, when this actually happened, he certainly wasn't getting phone calls because the cell system would have been down. There would have been no comms going in and out. If they weren't jamming it, they'd cut it off by cyber. The guy would have had, they would have done their best to make sure he had no warning. I'm eager to see what we learn from this. But the fact is, all this stuff was planned down to the nth degree. And the egress was planned down to the nth degree. Now, there's word that one of the helicopters was damaged. They definitely had a game plan in case one or more of the helicopters went down. I bet somebody was carrying explosives to blow the choppers, if necessary, on the ground. I bet there were was extra room in other choppers to take people out if a helicopter went down. If more than one helicopter went down, I would guess there was a quick reaction force to go in and help and bring them out. There might be Rangers, might be Marines. I don't know where they'd be stationed, maybe on the Iwo Jima off the coast. In any case, they bring him out to the helicopter. There were no doubt medics there in case he was shot. Were there police with him? Were there DEA agents and FBI to make the arrest, read him his rights? I think there would have been. And there are elite DEA units. There are elite FBI hostage rescue units that train with Delta. And the reason, besides training with Delta is pretty badass because they're very good, is so they can work together in cases like this. This is probably not the first time that the Delta has, covered for an arrest. And would have hustled them out to the helicopter and gotten the hell out of there as quick as they got in. Obviously, we secured the area around. The guys on the ground, I don't know, did they leave by helicopter? Are they still there? They may well. There are forces outside, just outside of Venezuela, waiting to see how their new El Presidente is going to behave. And if El Presidente does not behave in the manner we want, because as we said, no, we're going to run things. TikTok, yo gone. And don't think they can't do it. Don't think there isn't a follow-on plan. So, again, all the stuff I've said is speculation. And all the stuff I said is very simple. The details are incredible. I mean, you're orchestrating the movement of hundreds of aircraft. You are orchestrating hundreds of people. You are pulling off a special operations coup that, frankly, has never been done before. I'm trying to think of something similar. During the Panama invasion, Delta Force went and got a CIA asset out of a jail before they could murder him. Kurt Muse is the guy's name. Very famous, a very famous operation. And remember, stuff does go wrong. Look at Black Hawk Down, right? That was going to be a snatch and grab, and it went very wrong. By the way, a bunch of Somalis, we defeated you. They killed 17 of our guys. We killed over 1,000 of theirs. And they took one prisoner, and we literally said, if the prisoner's not back by X, we're coming back into town and we're going to kill everybody. And we're not going to play. We're going to get our guy back. And we'll, if you think what happened before was bad, wait till we come in force and you don't just cut off like a couple companies. Okay. They released Durant and brought back the bodies they mutilated. Because they understood what we would have done. And it would not have been, it would have been ugly. So things can go very, very wrong. And you've got a plan for everything that can go wrong as well as everything that can go right. I'm very proud of the Army. I'm very happy it was the Army and not the freaking Navy this time. Thank you. Although the Navy participated. This was a joint operation. Remember, you're going across all the services from Space Force to the Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force is involved, all this stuff. So it is joint, meaning intra-service. So when you're doing the planning, you know, you've got to tie in what you're doing on the ground as a Army officer, talking about Delta Force, with, you know, bombers and the air power that's on call. Oh yeah, they would have had combat controllers with them to be able to call in airstrikes if they needed it. Absolutely. So the planning of this was really unbelievable. And that's kind of the secret for Americans. We're very good planners. Okay, we will plan the hell out of things and then execute. And of course, when you execute, everything goes to shit. So you got a plan to start. The best part about the plan is it has resources that you can reconfigure and redirect as you need when everything changes. Because as soon as you make contact with the enemy, everything changes. What did Mike Tyson say? Everybody's got a plan till they get punched in the face. Welcome to Military Planning 101. Anyway, I hope some of that made sense. Again, I'm kind of talking through my fourth point of contact because I don't know nothing. I'm just talking about generalities, what I suspect, not sharing with you anything that any officer worth his salt couldn't have told you. So I'm not imperiling anybody by any of this. Go read my columns every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Obviously, my Monday column is talks about this too, but different aspects. Follow me on Twitter at Kurt Schlichter. You want to go get my book, Panama Red. Not Venezuela Red, but Panama Red. It's got helicopters too. It's got some cool stuff in it. You're going to love Panama Red. Go find Panama Red. You'll dig it. Thank you for being VIP members. We really appreciate it. You guys are the best. I'll be talking to you soon. Who knows? Maybe next week I actually know something. Bye-bye.